Father, we do thank you so much as we just sung. We thank you for the wonderful gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you as well for the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit who you have given us until the work is done. Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would take these words of Acts and my words as well. And would you help us to hear what you're saying through these words, and would our eyes be lifted to the wonderful Lord Jesus through this wonderful bit of Acts. Amen. So, New Year's resolutions, we've already talked about those a little bit, haven't we? How's yours going so far? How's your New Year's resolution going so far? How confident, here's a second question for you to think about, how confident are you that you'll still be going in a week? How confident are you that you'll still be going in a month? How about by Easter? How about by the end of the year? I don't know if many of us actually get to the end of the year. There's something appealing, isn't there, about pressing the reset button. Something appealing about starting again when it comes to starting the new year. It's a fresh start as we start a fresh new year. But keeping up with those new habits is difficult, isn't it? We look at ourselves and we see so often areas that we want to improve. But it turns out that self-improvement is actually really quite hard. But here's the wonderful truth that we're going to see this morning in this first bit of Acts. God doesn't do New Year's resolutions for himself. He doesn't do resets of who he is. No, God is and always will continue to be what he always has been. And he will continue to do the same kinds of things that he always has done. Now, that's not like us, where we just keep on whatever our New Year's resolutions are, we just keep on doing what we've always been doing. No, for God, it's not because he's somehow weaker than those of us who manage to stick out the year with our New Year's resolutions. It's because God already is infinitely good. And he already is infinitely loving. And he already is infinitely powerful. And he already is infinitely close to us. He already is perfect. And as we're going to see this morning, in our changeable, undependable, unreliable world, the fact that God continues unchanging gives us vast amounts of confidence and hope at the start of this new year. This morning we're going to see two wonderful reasons for confidence and hope at the start of 2025, and they all flow out of the fact that the Lord continues. So do have a look down at your Bible in front of you, page 909, Acts chapter 1. And our first point is down there in verses 1 and 2. So let's take a look at that first reason for confidence. I'm going to reread those first two verses. So verse 1 says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen." So down there in verse 1, where it says the first book, that is Luke referring to Luke's gospel, which he also wrote to the same Theophilus. And right at the start of Luke's gospel, the start of his first book, we have a similar introduction where Luke explains a bit about what he's doing there. On the screen behind us, I think we've got Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, which I'll read out for us. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Inasmuch," this is the same Luke speaking at the start of that book. Luke says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus," the same man, "that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So Luke is explaining there in that start of that first bit of Luke's gospel, he's explaining why he's writing that book. There were many people that were writing about the events of Jesus's life, but Luke decided to write an orderly account. Just like an investigative journalist, he investigated and he interviewed and he examined the evidence and he wrote his orderly account of Jesus's life and teachings. But look, it wasn't like that biography that you got at Christmas that you will read and then drop off at Oxfam a little bit later in January. No, Luke wrote his gospel and he wrote his books so that the reader might have certainty concerning the things to do with Jesus. Luke was writing so that we might have certainty amidst the conflicting opinions about Jesus, and ultimately that we might have confidence in Jesus. That's all well and good, but you guys might be thinking, what on earth has all this got to do with Acts? We're supposed to be doing Acts chapter 1, not Luke chapter 1, aren't we? Well, come back to Acts chapter 1, verse 1 with me. Do have a look down there. Luke writes there in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, that in Luke, in that first book, he dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Now I wonder, did you spot the unexpected word in that verse? Do have a look down at chapter 1, verse 1 of Acts, and see if you can spot the unexpected word in that verse. Luke doesn't say that in his first book he dealt with all that Jesus did and taught. He doesn't say that. That's what we expect him to say. No, he says, do have a look down there. He says, all that Jesus began to do and teach. Did you spot the implication there? So if in Luke he was writing about all that Jesus began to do and teach, then in Acts, the book that we're starting to look at this morning, Luke is going to write about all that Jesus continued to do and teach. This book, Acts, is all about what Jesus continued to do. It's not really the Acts of the Apostles. That's what our Bible says there at the top of page 909. This is actually the continuing Acts of the risen Lord Jesus. It's part two of the same story. If Luke is part one, then Acts is part two. There hasn't been some kind of New Year's refresh between Luke and Acts. No, this is the same Lord Jesus who's now sitting on the throne of heaven, who's been given all power and authority, and he continues to do and teach the same things. And I think that's something that gives us a huge amount of confidence at the start of this year. Just like Luke said at the start of Luke's gospel, this book of Acts will give us certainty, will give us confidence about what Jesus continued to do in Acts and what he's continuing to do amongst us, his people, here in Sheffield in 2025. You see, we can make that jump from Acts to Sheffield, because while there are a handful of things that are different between our day and the day of Acts, fundamentally, they're the same. So Jesus is still on the throne in heaven. The Holy Spirit has come to us, his people, and he is still here amongst us. We are still awaiting the return of Jesus. We're still in the same historical period. We're in the end days. So take a look around. Well, perhaps not around today. Yeah, actually, let's look around today. But especially on a day when there's lots more people here amongst us, when it's not snowy. The gospel continues to cross to different groups of people. The gospel continues to spread to different cultures, to new generations. That started here in Acts. And we continue to see that here at Central as he continues to make us more intercultural, with different types of people coming together in God's new people, the church. We see it as well in the way that even this Christmas, people are turning back and following the Lord Jesus. That started in Acts. And we continue to see that happening here at Central, with people being baptized, putting their trust in and confessing the name of the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We see as well in the way that Jesus Christ continues to help us as small, weak Christians stepping out and living and speaking for him. That started in Acts. And we continue to see that work of Jesus amongst us here, don't we? As we see each other trying to live and speak for Jesus in our workplaces, our homes, our schools, unis, and communities. So the first thing that comes out of this passage is this: have confidence because Christ continues to work. And I think that is such reassuring and wonderful news, because we're all in the middle of a lot of unfinished stories, aren't we? That person that you'd love to be sitting next to you here at church. Well, Christ continues to work. The story hasn't yet finished. That hopeless, hurting situation that you find yourself in. Well, Christ continues to work. The story hasn't finished yet. That discouragement in ministry. Well, Christ continues to work. The story isn't finished yet. The second reason for confidence is down there in Acts chapter 1, verses 3, 5, and 8. So right at the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus gives a quick summary of what his plan has been all along. And I wonder again if we could put that on the screen behind us. Luke chapter 24, verses 46. Jesus is saying this. He's explaining to his followers what his plan is. So I'm just going to read it out for us. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And I wonder if we could keep that on the screen. And I wonder, did you spot some of the similarities, some of the same things being said in both Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1? The first thing that jumps out, Luke 24:46, says how that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Well, have a look down in the Bible in front of you. Have a look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says there that he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Same. It's the same thing. And of course, these wonderful, dramatic Easter events didn't get forgotten, did they? They're too wonderful. They're too glorious. They're too life-changing to keep to yourself. So Luke 24, verse 47, I wonder if we could pop that on the screen behind me, says that it should be passed on. It should be shared with your family and with your friends. It should be broadcast to your community. So because of Easter, Luke 24:47, repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now that is such wonderful news, isn't it? That verse is wonderful news for us, because most of us are not ethnically Jewish. So we all need Jesus' promise of verse 47 so that we even might have a chance of hearing about the wonderful Lord Jesus. But how is that going to happen? How do people hear about it? How does the gospel go out? Well, astonishingly, this message from the King of Heaven, which upturns nations, which brings down the great and the mighty, which lifts up the humble, which proclaims a greater justice and forgiveness than all the world's courts, this message will be shared by a bunch of unknown, unreliable, flawed, and failing nobodies. Luke 24:48 says, "You, the disciples, that is, are witnesses of these things. You, the disciples, will be the mouthpieces. You, disciples, you will be the signposts. You will be the ones who say it really happened. You will be the ones who say what it really means." But they're standing there trembling with fear. They're completely terrified. But an even bigger problem than that is that they had small horizons. Have a look at Acts chapter 1, verse 6. They're hearing all this wonderful stuff, and then they're asking if all this means, do you see it down there? Acts chapter 1, verse 6. They're asking if all this means that Jesus will restore the kingdom to Israel. They may be terrified, but the main problem is that these disciples just don't get it. There's this heavenly plan of global redemption and the full and free forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed to the whole world, to every nation. And they're saying, are you going to restore the kingdom to our little corner of the planet? This is small-mindedness. This is self-centeredness. And if we're honest, this is embarrassingly familiar to us, isn't it? You see, we're some 2,000 years on from this conversation. The gospel has gone out, but the gospel still needs to go out. There are 3.42 billion people living in unreached people groups in our world. That's 42.4% of the population where there is no BBC, not the BBC which we watch on TV, but the BBC of no believers near them, no Bible in their own language, no church locally to be a part of. 42.4% of the world has no access to the gospel. And yet, if we're honest, we probably spent more on ourselves at Christmas than on giving towards taking the gospel out. We're not too dissimilar to these disciples, are we? We might not be asking when the kingdom will be restored to us, but faced with this glorious task and this humongous need, we give more brain power to questions like, when will our economy take a better turn? Or when will our nation be made great again? Or when will my team win again? When we read this passage, we've got to say, Father, forgive us. And please help us, because this is really embarrassingly familiar for us. In the face of this great task, something extra is needed, isn't it? Something to empower these disciples and to empower us to be the witnesses that we're called to be. Something is needed to take away their fear and to take away our fear as well. Something to take away their and our small-mindedness and give us a vision for the global spread of the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. We need someone to drive us out, someone to lead us on, someone to comfort and to help us on the way. Back in Luke 24:49, I wonder if we could go to the next slide. Jesus said, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, page 909, Jesus repeats that same promise. He says that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then in verse 8, he joins that great commission and the coming of the Holy Spirit when he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." astonishingly, wonderfully, that happened. God's plan continues, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So this group of disciples who've gotten it all wrong, they receive, in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see it in a couple of weeks, they receive the Holy Spirit. They had gotten it all wrong up until now, but they then start proclaiming and preaching the gospel in different languages right there and then in Jerusalem. This fearful group of Jesus' followers, they stop shrinking back in fear, but they're willing to endure difficulties and opposition as they obey Jesus' call to live and speak for him. This small, self-centered group of small-minded Christians, they're driven outwards. They're led, they're empowered, they're comforted by the Holy Spirit as they take the good news about Jesus first to the rest of Judea, then to neighboring Samaria, then eventually to the very center of the known world, to Rome itself. And that's where Acts finishes. They get driven outwards by persecution and by hardship. And sometimes they're even taken under arrest. Just because the Spirit is with us doesn't mean that this will be easy. But we can have confidence because God's plan continues. If we trace the story onwards in church history, within a few centuries of Acts, followers of Jesus have reached the ends of the known world. Christians had arrived here in the British Isles a few centuries later. There were Christians who had gone as far east as China. They had gone as far south as sub-Saharan Africa. They had gone as far west as the Iberian Peninsula. God's plan continues. The gospel went out to the ends of the known world. And that makes sense because that's always been God's plan. Ever since Genesis 12, when God made his first promises to Abraham, he said that through his descendants, the world, the whole world, would be blessed. That's at the start of the Bible. And right at the end of the Bible, Revelation, we see that there will be worshippers from every tribe and tongue. God's plan continues. He's not doing a new year's new start. He's not taking a pause. He's not trying something new. He continues to work out his plan that the good news of forgiveness of sins brought by Jesus' suffering on the cross might be told to everyone. And that's the message that we need to hear today, isn't it? Right at the start of 2025, we don't need a kick to go and get out there, although we do sometimes need that. First and foremost, we need to hear that message. It's a message we need to hear every day. And first and foremost, it's a message to us to come to Jesus and receive forgiveness from his own hands. Whatever you've done, whatever you've not done, wherever you've been, wherever you've not been, whatever you've said, whatever you've not said, God's plan continues. God's plan of offering grace and love and peace, it's still offered to you by our wonderful Lord Jesus. He still stands there. He's still willing to forgive. If only you'll turn back to him. If only you'll say sorry and ask for that forgiveness. God's plan continues. He never needs a fresh start, but we always do. And then forgiven and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we become his witnesses, don't we? We become his witnesses to the ends of the world, living and speaking for him wherever he puts us, whether that's on a mission field in the Far East or in the workplace just down the road. Be confident. That's the message of this second point. Be confident. God's plan for salvation continues. And Jesus continues to work through his people, by his Spirit, and by his life-changing world. So as we draw to a close, can I ask you, do you have confidence? Do you have confidence in the Lord Jesus, or do you have doubts? This book of Acts and this series of Bible talks in Acts will build your confidence in the risen Lord Jesus. You can be confident because the risen Lord Jesus continues to work through his people. Small and weak as we often are, we're empowered by the Spirit and trust in his word. We can be confident because God's plan continues, that everyone, including us, might hear the wonderful news of forgiveness and reconciliation. So confident in him, we can take our place in this story, resting in him, forgiven by him, trusting in him, and living and speaking for him. Amen. We're going to take a couple of moments just for quiet reflection. What's the Lord saying to you? What's he laying on your heart right now? And what do you need to say back to him? A couple of moments for quiet reflection, and then our musicians will lead us in our final song. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you continue. We thank you so much that even though we are changing and unreliable, we thank you that the Lord Jesus continues to work. And thank you that he continues to work out his plan. Would we be quick to turn to him for that salvation and that forgiveness that he continues to offer? And would you help us to be bold and courageous and live and speak for him wherever you put us in the coming days and weeks? Amen.